Today on The Journey.
You have to be able to teach. There are three things that a teacher does. First, a teacher has to acquire the content. Then you got to believe the content. And then you got to communicate the content.
You can't leave a legacy of godly faith and practice unless you truly own it. How that's done, both the owning and the leaving, are Ron Moore's focus in this half hour. We'll get to that right after a brief word about Ron's daily devotional titled Journey Through the Gospels. In these 365 reflections, you'll discover truths about Jesus and yourself that you may have never seen before. Journey Through the Gospels is available for a donation of any amount, and you'll find it on the web at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, Imparting My Influence on the Journey.
Well, in the Old Testament, there's this story about a king named Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was a king who had an enviable resume. I mean, when you look at what he did, it is amazing. He came pretty young to the scene. And he was able to go throughout Israel, and there were altars that were built for pagan worship, and he destroyed every one of them. There were these poles called Asherah poles, and he destroyed them. And then in an amazing event, he took the bronze snake that Moses had made. You remember the story in Numbers 21 when Israel has sinned against God and God sent serpents as a consequence of their sin and was killing some of the people. And so Moses made this bronze snake. And if the people looked at the bronze snake, they would be healed from the snake bites. Well, that snake was passed down through the centuries. And in Hezekiah's time, people were worshiping the bronze snake. And so Hezekiah had the guts to take the bronze snake that Moses had made, and he broke it to pieces so people wouldn't worship it. This guy was a strong leader, passionate about God, following God all the days of his life until he got to 40 years old, and he got sick. He really sick, terminally ill. Isaiah was a prophet at the time, and Isaiah went in and said, Hezekiah, here's the word from the Lord. You got to put your house together because you are going to die. And scripture says that Hezekiah was on his bed. He was sick, and he turned his face to the wall, and he wept bitterly, and he asked God, just give me some more time. Please give me some more time. And so in an interesting turn of events, God gave him some more time. God said to Isaiah, go back and tell him, you got 15 more years. Well, Hezekiah was overjoyed. So you would think, wouldn't you? With 15 more years, with God's graciousness that he gave you, you would think you would take those years and you would use them and use them full out for Christ. But 2 Chronicles tells us something flipped. Hezekiah's heart became proud. And he did not respond to the kindness God had shown him. In fact, in those 15 years of grace, he sinned greatly against God. And here's what God told Isaiah the prophet to share with Hezekiah. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 16, then Isaiah went to Hezekiah and said, hear the word of the Lord. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried away by Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, that will be born to you will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Can you imagine hearing that? Here you are, you've lived your life, you've gotten these 15 years of grace, you blow it, and God says, everything you work for is going to be destroyed. In fact, your own flesh and blood are going to be carried away, and they're going to be slaves. How would you respond to that? It'd be devastating, wouldn't it? Here's what Hezekiah said in chapter 20, verse 19. Hezekiah said, the word of the Lord you have spoken is good. For he thought, will there not be peace and security in my lifetime? Too bad for them, but it's not going to impact me at all. Yeah, I'm sorry, they've got to clean up my mess, but at least in my life, I'll be good. So we're involved in the series of sermons really focusing on our legacy. What are we going to leave behind? We're going to leave a mess behind and let others clean it up? Or are we going to leave something that really counts, something of meaning, something significant, something that really demonstrates to the group we leave behind, like our kids and our friends and our family, that we were serious about living a life for Jesus Christ? Take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of 1 Timothy. We're using these three books called the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, as our primary source of this study. And we're using as the framework for our study of leaving a legacy, of owning our influence, the characteristics that Paul gives for elders in a church. However, they apply to everybody. No one's off the hook. And we have found them repeated in many, many other places of Scripture. To this point in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we've seen that you have to have a desire to own your influence. You have to set your heart on living a life that pleases God. There has to be some passion there. You can't live a flat-line Christian life and expect anyone to be excited about the life you've lived or what you've left behind. You have to be above reproach. We cannot be perfect. We never will. But living without handles of scandal, family integrity, faithful to spouse and children, emotionally balanced, temperate, and self-controlled, respectable obedience that flows out of identification of who we are in Jesus Christ, because we know who we are, and our identity is not in a home or a car or a second home or a third car or a job or whatever else. Our identity is found in Jesus Christ alone. And hospitable. We saw that last time. Inviting people not into our perfect home, but inviting people into our imperfect heart. Well, here's where we come today. Able to teach. Now, just to make clear, this is not talking about a spiritual gift of teaching. This is not talking about someone who's going to stand in front of a classroom or on a stage or whatever else, and they should be able to teach. That needs to happen, but this one is looking at each of us right square in the eye and saying, you have to be able to teach. You have to be able to clearly communicate the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of the Bible, to the audience that God gives you. Sometimes that's an audience of one, a friend or family or a child. Sometimes it's a bigger group. Others are watching. But no one is exempt from being able to teach. God provides all kinds of opportunities. Will we be able to take advantage of them? There are three things that a teacher does. We call these the ABCs of teaching. First, a teacher has to acquire the content. Then you got to believe the content. And then you got to communicate the content. Acquisition is the process of gaining knowledge, of study, of learning. Belief is the process of personal ownership, because you have all heard teachers say the truth, but you said, I am not for sure they believe that. Do they really believe what they're teaching? And belief also means you got to demonstrate it with your life, because if you believe something, it doesn't stick in your mind. It comes out in your life. And then you got to communicate it. You got to clearly explain it. So acquiring the content, believing the content, communicating the content. The question is, isn't it? Is there a body of content? Is there a collection of truth? Is there something worth acquiring, believing, and communicating? And all of you are saying, well, yeah, we're at church. That's an easy one. It's the Bible, right? That's the right answer. But the follow-up question is, if you really believe it, how'd you do this past week in the Word? If you really believe it, did you spend time every day in the Word? So let's think about that today. Is there really a body of content you're willing to give your life for? To acquire it, to know what it says? To believe it to the point that you will obey it and communicate it to others? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, where Paul writes, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman, the person of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." All Scripture, every part of Scripture, every word of Scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God. It comes from Him. Here's His love letter to us. The Creator of the universe loves us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on a cross. And then He gave us His Word so that we could know how to live a life that pleases the Christ that we say we love. All Scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for teaching. It shows us the right path. It's useful for rebuking. It tells us when we get off the path. It's useful for correcting. It gets us back on the right path. It's useful for training. It keeps us on the right path. See, how do we know if we're on the right path? How do we know if we're off the right path? How do we know how to get back on the right path? How do we know how to stay on the right path unless we take time to read God's Word, His love letter just for us. And Paul says, here's the reason, here's the why, so that you will be thoroughly equipped for every good work, so that you will be thoroughly equipped to do the things God has made you to do. Now, there are a lot of things that equip us, but there's only one inspired Word of God. This is what makes us complete. This is what makes us ready. This is what gives us all we need to do what God has called us to do. It is God's transforming power that comes through this Word. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. In God's Word, we find, Paul says, the knowledge of truth that leads to godliness. So we've got some great content, right? We got the best content. We got the inspired content. Now, we have to be able to teach it. Let's look at these ABCs. Number one, we have to acquire the Word of God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Paul says, do your best to present yourself to God. You're not trying to impress anyone else, but do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the Word of truth. The word correctly handles is a word that commentators say it could mean different things. Some commentators say it's used of a farmer who is plowing a field and he better plow a straight furrow. Others say it's a stonemason. When he chisels that stone, it's got to be flat on one side. Paul was a tent maker. Some people say it's him thinking about cutting camel hair cloth, cutting it straight to make a tent. But it means straight, sharp, a clear understanding. And Paul says you got to do your best to be a workman who correctly handles the Word of truth so that we will not be ashamed. Talking to myself, we ought to be ashamed if we are not able to clearly explain why we believe what we believe. And we got to be parents who teach it to our children. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of because those from whom you learned it from your parents. You trusted them. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Wouldn't you love for someone to say that about your kids? Now, one issue here. Head knowledge alone is dangerous. Head knowledge will make you dangerous if that's where you stop. All along the way, Paul is telling Timothy as he stays in Ephesus and as Titus is in Crete, it's not just head knowledge, you got to believe it enough to actually do it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, there were some people, they were always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. You know people like that? They got a head full of knowledge. They just don't put it into practice. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They claim to know all this stuff. They can tell you all the theology in the world, but their life is not quite working. You got to make sure that you're a person who has head knowledge, but you put it into practice. So it's more than just knowledge. It's acquiring God's Word and believing God's Word. You've got to own it and apply it. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Paul says, the influencer must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, not coming up with some new teaching. It's interesting in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, how often Paul says, remind people of these things as it's been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Look at Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything and try to please them, not talk back to them, not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, what they have in their head, they will make it attractive by what they do. See, that's what the world's looking at. They want to know that we really believe this stuff. And so Paul says to Timothy, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. 1 Timothy 4. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and others. Not only will you keep yourself on the right path, but you'll keep all those people you influence on the right path. ABC is a teaching. Acquire the Word. Believe the Word. Communicate the Word. Someone always says, oh, I love that old quote, preach the gospel, and if you have to, use words. That's baloney. Preach the gospel with your life and explain why you do what you do. Because if people just see you doing some good stuff, they could conclude, that's a nice moral person. It's a both and. You got to do the what and explain the why. You got to be able to communicate the Word of God. So very quickly, seven things. Number one, never back down from the truth. Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, preach the Word in season, out of season. Correct, rebuke, and do so with careful instruction and patience. But preach the Word. Don't back down. We live in a day where people are scared to say anything, aren't they? They got to be politically correct about everything. They're afraid they're going to judge someone. Well, I can't really say anything about that lifestyle because I don't want to judge them. Well, time out. You're not saying it. God is. This is the standard. I'm not the standard. I'm just a communicator of this book that I have acquired in my head. I'm living out in my life, and I want to tell you what it says. I can't make you do anything then, but here's what God's Word says. So never back down from the truth. Number two, never back down from confronting error. I was amazed at how many times Paul told Timothy and Titus, there's error in the church. Confront it. Don't let that go on. People are being hurt by that. You'll ruin people. Some people are wandering away from the faith. You got to confront the error. In fact, that's why Paul left Timothy in Ephesus, because there were false teachers there. Now, how do you know if a person is teaching false stuff? You got to know the real stuff, but you got to confront the error. Don't back down on that. Timothy, Paul says, guard what's been entrusted to your care. Number three, don't get into foolish arguments. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 14 and 23, Titus chapter 3, 9 through 11. Do not get into foolish arguments. Paul says some people, they argue over words. We love that, don't we? We think we're really intelligent and theological if we can take a word and dissect it and argue over it while the world's going to hell. But how did it change our life? Paul said, don't get into foolish arguments. Teach strategically. 2 Timothy 2, 2, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So teach people who are going to teach others. Now, as parents, that's an easy one, isn't it? It's called our children, because they're going to grow up. I promise you they will. You people with little kids, I know you don't believe that, but I promise you. It goes fast. They're going to get married. Then they're going to have kids. How strategic is it that our kids know God's Word? Teach with integrity. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech. Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Teach with authority. Encourage and rebuke people with all authority. Titus 2, 15. Teach with respect. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. I believe Paul's saying there, able to teach and not resentful of those who don't always get it the first time or don't always believe it the first time. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct. Sometimes we're not very good at that, are we? We must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive. So we need to teach with respect. So you know who the hardest person to teach is? This person I just struggle with more than anyone else in my teaching. You know who that person is? Me. And you know where I have the most trouble teaching myself? When I'm facing a temptation. And it's looking pretty good, and I want to give in to it. You see, I know the truth. You shouldn't do that. But I also know I kind of want to do that. That's when able to teach really becomes a character trait. Jesus, as always, is the master teacher. In Matthew chapter 4, he is tempted. He's famished. He hadn't eaten for 40 days, and Satan comes to him and says, hey, you see that stone right there? All you got to say the word and it become a loaf of bread. Wouldn't you like a hot loaf of bread right now? And Jesus says, it is written. Let me tell you what the source says, Satan. Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Not regurgitated by somebody else, but from the mouth of God. And then Satan says, well, why don't you throw yourself down from the temple, because your angels will catch you, and then everyone will see that you're someone special, and they'll start worshiping you. And Jesus said, it is written. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then Satan says, you want people to worship you, all the kingdoms of the world. You say they're going to bow before you one day anyway. Just bow before me now. I'll give them to you right now. I'm the prince of the world. And Jesus says, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. See the pattern? You see how Jesus answered Satan? With scripture. Because he had acquired it. He believed it, and he was able to communicate it.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Would you like to sense the anticipation of the people as Jesus stood up to preach? Would you like to feel the joy and wonder as the scales fell from the eyes of the man born blind? Would you like to see Jesus for the first time all over again? Well, that can be your everyday experience with Ron Moore's devotional titled Journey Through the Gospels. In these 365 insightful meditations, Ron takes you on a challenging journey through the life of Christ. Along the way, Jesus will touch your soul and spirit with life-changing truths and tender affection. Journey Through the Gospels is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Gentleness is demonstrated by our words, by our actions. Gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is not wimpiness. Gentleness is strength under control.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please drop by our website to order your copy of Journey Through the Gospels. This daily devotional will enrich your walk with the Savior and increase your understanding of His life and ministry. Journey Through the Gospels is available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.